This podcast is part of the Everyday Heroes Podcast Network, the network for first responders and those who support them.
To read all the founding fathers, the rule of law is one of the most important things in the history of this country and for the maintaining of a free America. And so I love that aspect too. And so I defend it vigorously, passionately, and I defend those who put on the badge every day.
Welcome to the Off Duty Podcast, the podcast where we interview the men and women of law enforcement and help you to learn about the person behind the badge. If this is your first time tuning in, thank you. My name is Anthony McNeil, retired police officer and your host. Let's get started.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode number 69 of the Off Duty Podcast. Once again, it's me, your boy, Anthony McNeil. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that you've probably heard of my guest today. This gentleman has been featured on numerous TV shows, everything from Newsmax, Fox News, Live PD. He's also the founder of the American Sheriff Network. He's also the founder of the nonprofit organization, American Sheriff Foundation. He has 15 years in law enforcement. He's a father. He's a husband. He's from the state of Arizona. Please help me welcome America's Sheriff, Sheriff Mark Lamb. Sheriff, sir, how you doing?
Good, man. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Thank you for the intro, too.
Yes, thank you, sir. Again, I greatly appreciate you taking time out of your day to hop on the podcast with me. I know it's early where you're at and, you know, getting up this early just to do a podcast. I greatly appreciate you taking the time out. I actually appreciate you just accepting the offer to come on the podcast.
Nah, my pleasure. And we're podcast number 69, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, listen, for all of my regular listeners, you guys know how I start each episode off. Sheriff Lamb, that's simply why law enforcement.
You know what? I got into it late in life. I'd never actually thought about being a cop. I was 33 years old, had my own businesses, and my neighbor talked me into going on a ride-along. He worked on an Indian reservation near Scottsdale in Mesa, Arizona. I had no more excuses, so finally I was like, sure, I'll go. Went on a graveyard shift. On one of those calls we went on that night was a guy found a 20-year-old with his 14-year-old daughter, got into a little altercation, kid runs out the back. We get called, I show up. They let me have the car, which is, you know, not normal for a ride-along. So I'm out there armed with a flashlight and courage in the field looking for this kid along with the other officers. And I go to this old abandoned trailer and I see this pile of junk and clothes and stuff in this old abandoned trailer out in the middle of the desert. And I see what I think is about a quarter size of skin underneath that. And so I signal to those guys. I'm like, hey, I think he's right here. They go in. They yank him out. He was there. They drag him out. Might have been some tasers involved. That morning I went home and I told my wife I'm going to be a cop.
Wow.
And you know what? I fell in love with the profession after that. I went through the academy. I've really just embraced this profession and what it means. And more so as a constitutionalist and as somebody who understands the founding of this country and loves to read all the founding fathers. The rule of law is one of the most important things in the history of this country and for the maintaining of a free America. Mm-hmm. And so I love that aspect too. And so I defend it vigorously, passionately, and I defend those who put on the badge every day. I love it. So I guess my why is I just love America. I love freedom and I want to do what I can to protect it.
I'm kind of like you. I got a late start in the profession. I was 27 when I started and I had zero interest of being the police. And I have always wanted to be an entrepreneur. And at the time, I was 26, 27 years old and I was working in a restaurant. I came home from college. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't have the money or the resources to start a business. So I went back to the restaurant that I used to work in before I went to college. And the new chief of police just happened to come in. And he asked me if I ever thought about being a police officer. And when he said that, all I could think was, that's how I can get the money I need to start my business. And I end up, you know, testing, finished number three on the test, got hired. After 3 years on the job, I end up having enough money. I started my business. I left for 14 months, got the business up and running. Got a call from the chief one day after those 14 months, asked me to come back to work. I went back, put in my 20 years, and I retired in 2013. And I still have the business today, almost 28 years now.
That's awesome. God bless you, man. Thank you for your service.
Yeah, likewise. Now, you said some things that I kind of had an inkling on, because doing my research on you, I figured there had to be a business background in there someplace before you got involved in law enforcement. What kind of business were you in?
So I've always been in marketing. At the time, I had a pest control company, was doing pigeon control, pest control. Okay. I've had a couple different pest controls over time. But, you know, it's really about marketing. I've marketed solar, TV, internet, just about anything that will make you money other than drugs. I don't market that. But I'm more so marketing, pest control. And I like residual income businesses.
My man.
You know, the American Sheriff Network, although it doesn't make me money, is a residual income business. Same with the pest control businesses. Those are residual income businesses where every month you have people that are paying you. And I like those businesses. I think they have good resale value. And you get a chance to really interact with all your customers on a monthly basis. So I like that.
That's why I love doing this podcast. Because if a stranger saw you and I, they wouldn't think we had anything in common. Our freaking stories are so much alike. I have been marketing and into business for as long as I can remember. And that's why I like to ask that question, because you never know a person's journey on how they get to where they're at. And, you know, I like to lead each episode off with that question, because all of us, even though we end up at the same place, we all have a specific reason or journey that we took to get here. And I love that. And that information right there, if I don't learn nothing else about you for the rest of this interview, that was enough for me, because it solidified something that I had rolling around in my mind. Like I said, while doing my research and seeing all the things that you were involved, it all makes sense now. So, so I appreciate you sharing that. Now, you mentioned the American Sheriff Network. Can you please let the listener know what that's all about if they're not familiar with it?
Yeah, you know, I've been blessed. When I first took over office, Live PD approached us and said, "Hey, would you be interested?" And we're like, "Man, I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm like a baby around ice out here. I'm trying to get my sea legs underneath me." And so 6 months into it, we went back to him and said, "Hey, are you guys still interested?" That was on a Monday. By Friday, they were here filming already.
Wow.
And then along came 60 days in, and we were kind of doing those things at the same time. I don't do those for the notoriety. I do them because I think it's important to promote our profession, mm-hmm. and to let people see the good work that the men and women who put on this badge do every day. When Live PD came, I remember we went on this call, and they weren't with me at the time. And we drug this guy out of the house and put him in cuffs. And after that, they wanted to ride with me. And then it became a thing, which I enjoyed. I liked having them ride with me. And I like going out and spending time with the guys. I'm a working sheriff whenever I can. So those things were great. And I thought they were great for law enforcement. And I thought it showcased it in a positive light. Well, come 2020, with what we saw in Minnesota, COVID, everything, they turned the lights out on all that. That was not fitting their narrative. They wanted to reset a different narrative.
Yeah.
They wanted to set a narrative that we are biased in this profession, that we cannot do our job well, that there's a ton of bad cops, and all of those things that couldn't be further from the truth. There aren't any statistics to support it. They're sheer lies. And so I wanted to get back to where we were setting the narrative. So I did what I could. I started something that I knew a little bit about. We started the American Sheriff Network, and we go out to different sheriff's offices across the country. And the idea is to keep the shine on the badge and real stories, real sheriffs. We want to go out, sit with them. It's not just about showing up to calls and putting that on there for the mm-hmm. action. We want to hear their stories too. And then we also want to highlight the sheriffs and the beautiful counties that they work yeah. in. So that's been the goal of it. And it's hard. It's expensive. It is not an easy task or project, but we're passionate about it. And we're passionate about giving a voice back to those men and women who put on the badge every day. And you can see it at AmericanSheriff.com. And we did it online so that back when we started this in February, they were still canceling everything. People were getting canceled. And so we went out, we found a server that in Canada, and the guy's like, "Look, I don't care about your politics." And so we were able to get it up on there. But you can get it on Roku. You can download it there. You can download it on the Fire Stick, Apple TV, all of those things.
I've had a chance to check out some of the episodes, and it's a great platform that you guys have started there. And 2020, for the shit show that it was, a lot of good has come out of it, in my opinion, because that's how I started this podcast. It was originally it was supposed to be a TV show back in 2019, but it was really hard to get officers to go on camera and talk about their personal lives. And then when 2020 hit, I started thinking, hell, all these people on Instagram like putting themselves out there. Let me reach out to some of them, see if they would come on a podcast. And here we are, 69 episodes in. So
that's awesome.
Everything happens for a reason. I always say that.
Amen.
The network, are there plans to produce other shows?
We're open to taking it wherever it will go. I think we're going to probably put together some pieces and maybe sell it to some of the networks, maybe like Newsmax or one of those. Not that we've had any talks with them. Mm-hmm. We're also working with a couple other big companies about expanding it more to a first responders network. So we've got some ideas that we want to do with it. Ideally, I would love, and just as an example, I would love to get podcasts like yours and different things on that network where people can go and find just a ton of different content that suits what they are looking for that relates to law enforcement and promoting and keeping the shine on the badge. So that's the ultimate end goal.
Now, there is a small cost to access the network, correct?
Yeah, it's $4.99. And the reason we did that is, for one, we didn't want to get canceled, so we had to put it online. And I'll tell you, it costs about $50,000 to $60,000 a month every time we film. We're big time in the negative. I have no money left. Not that I ever had any, but I have no money because I've sunk it all in there. But, you know, it's about giving a voice back to law enforcement. And if that's what it costs me, I can't take it with me anyway. We want to just leave something good and do something good. And and no advertising either. That's also why we did it. So.
Yes. Again, I've checked out some of the episodes and I encourage you guys to go over and check out the network. There's going to be a link to it down in the show notes. So make sure you go over and subscribe. Like I said, it's the cost of a cup of coffee. Go check it out. I think you're going to be very, very impressed with what Sheriff Mark has put together here with the America's Sheriff Network. So make sure you guys check that out. Again, there's going to be a link to it down in the show notes. I mentioned your nonprofit, the American Sheriff Foundation. Can you share a little bit about what that's all about?
Yeah. So when I first got into this, I always wanted to give back to the community and I tried to figure out how am I going to do that. It's kind of how American Sheriff came about in the first place. After my first year in the beginning of 2018, I was looking for something that I could do, a charity that I could start. And I found AmericanSheriff.com was available and then AmericanSheriff.org. And so I snatched those up. We have since changed the name of the website to the AmericanSheriffFoundation.com. And what it is we're just a charity that we want to bridge the gap between communities and law enforcement. Just to give you an idea, the other day I got a call. I was out working and it was a call for a guy who had been arrested for domestic violence. He needed a civil standby so he could go get some stuff out of his house. We went over to his house and I asked him, where are you going to go? He's like, I don't know. And while he was getting his stuff together, I was looking at hotels and I could see that the hotels were pretty expensive, you know, like $150 a night, probably way outside of the budget he was talking about. So I got all online and booked him a hotel for the night. If I didn't have that charity, I wouldn't have the flexibility to be able to do that. Those things for these people that are just struggling through life. Look, we all struggle. We all go through our hard times. And I wanted a vehicle, a mechanism that I could go and do that with. And last Saturday, we did Shop with the Sheriff. So my agency, we take people out. We give them $500, let them go shopping. I can't do that as many as my agency does, but I still try to take about 2 to 5 families every year shopping, $500 a piece, and let them shop for their families. So these are the kind of things we do. Predominantly, we do a lot of single moms and veterans is what we help with. It's basically just to bridge that gap between communities and law enforcement.
You guys are doing such great work and you're building your brand in the process. And that's fantastic. That's what it's all about, just bridging that gap. And
thank you.
I had a conversation the other day with my wife and some other friends over Thanksgiving dinner. We were talking about minorities accusing everybody else for our shortcomings and taking responsibility for our own imperfections and issues in the world and stop being the victim. And I saw a post that someone had made. It was an old viral post of an officer. I can't remember what state or city he was in, but he did a traffic stop, and it was a young black driver, and the young man said that he was terrified. He was scared of the police, and the officer was tremendous in the way he handled the situation. And he told the young man, the only thing I want to do is to make sure that you make it home safely, because the guy was texting and while he was driving, that's why he stopped him. And he says, I want your mother to be able to watch you grow up. And he went on and on. The officer did a fantastic job. And I responded to that because I was reading all the comments that people were putting on there. It was just ignorant stuff. And I had to step in and say, listen, this is what the profession needs. Just like I made the comment to my wife about we as black folks have to take responsibility for ourselves. We as law enforcement, every interaction that we have creates an impression, and it could be good, bad, or otherwise. And it's up to us, because we can't rely on politicians. We can't rely on the media. We can't rely on anybody else to change that narrative for us. We as a profession have to do it. And just like the black community has to fix their shit, we have to make sure that we can fix our own problems. And if we want to change the narrative and the way people view the police, we have to start on our end, because we can't count on anybody else, because we already know they all have their own motives, and that's money and power. And as long as we're up against that, it's going to be a tough fight, but we have to take responsibility. And that's why I love what you're doing to bridge that gap, because those little interactions, like I say, they leave impressions. So kudos to you, sir. I appreciate everything that you're doing. I want to be respectful of your time, and I want to go ahead and jump into my first segment here.
Well, and just real quick, I would like to just say something on that, because I think what you hit on was there's so many great things in what you just said. And it's true. We all need to do a better job of taking responsibility for our own lives. Like I was reading something the other day about a guy who had actually committed suicide and then had an after-death experience. And he had this experience that he went to the other side and he saw his family members there. And his family members said to him, you need to stop thinking that life owes you something. Mm-hmm. You need to stop waiting for life to do something for you. And then they said, this was the key point. It says, it's not about what life can do for you.
Yeah.
It's about what you can give your life to give it meaning. Life is not meant to give you meaning. You are meant to give your life meaning. And once people understand that, this is not designed to cater to you. You got to get it out of it. You got to extract it. You got to work hard to give your own life meaning. And there's only one person that can do that, and that's you. No matter what race, color, creed, religion, culture, background you have, it all is about you. And if you are unhappy, it typically that's you. And so I loved what you said, and I think we all need to do a better job of it. And I do the best I can to make people feel as comfortable, no matter who they are. You know, like the guy that I helped the other night, he was a black guy. I didn't matter. I would have helped anybody. But in that particular case, this is a guy who's had multiple negative interactions with police.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe I changed that a little bit. And maybe the next time it's a little bit different when he has an interaction with police.
I cannot say that expression enough. Every interaction leaves a impression. And it could be good, bad, or otherwise. And they're not going to always be good, but it's up to us to try our best to at least start there. And, you know, it's up to the individual to decide where it goes from there. That's but, right. you know,
that's right.
The ball is in our court at the beginning. Right. So, like I said, Sheriff, I want to go ahead and jump into the first segment. This is what I call Dig Deeper for those that don't know. Dig Deeper is where I get nosy and I go poking around my guest's social media. And I pull out certain posts and I craft questions around those posts. And Sheriff, I came up with three posts of yours that I want to ask questions about. The first has to do with your Instagram profile. And in there, you have God, family, freedom. That pretty much sums it up. Oh, and guns. And my first question to you is, can you explain what each one of those things mean to you?
Yeah, I'm a God-fearing Christian first and foremost. And, I love our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ. I'm very religious, and I think that's an integral part of my life, and I don't hide it. I'm unapologetically Christian. I don't impose my religion or any of that on somebody. I try to live those values. So God first in my life, family. I believe that family is everything. I think the family comes first. I think that we lack that. I think family is one of the strengths of America, that and the rule of law. and Christianity. Those three things, I think, is what this country was built on. So I think the family unity is important. I just heard a stat that only 17% of families are considered what you would consider a traditional family with a father and a mother in the home. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why our society is deteriorating so much. And so family is extremely important to me. My wife, my children, I have five children, my wife of 27 years. So that's important. And then freedom, country. One of the things that I love more than anything is freedom. I love it to the core of my being, and I will do everything I can to protect it. And if you watch me, you'll see that I'm constantly talking about America and freedom because I love it so much. I'm passionate about it. And then, of course, guns. I don't think you can protect all three of those without them. If we wouldn't have had guns, we'd be worse than Australia right now. This government would have run roughshod over us. You know, not to get into politics, but it doesn't matter, Republican, Democrat. Government has gotten bigger and bigger every year, and it continues to encroach on our rights and our ability to live life the way our founding fathers designed it with the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, when they said that we have certain unalienable rights given to us by God, which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And so I don't think that you can protect those things without the guns. So hence the God, family, freedom, and of course, guns. I love them all.
My next question around that is, what's your favorite gun?
Well, I got this Henry 4440 right here.
Nice.
This is an old school cowboy gun. My wife gave me this. It's probably one of my favorite guns. I love the old cowboy guns. I have a six shooter behind me as well. Those are probably my favorite guns.
Okay.
This has a lot of meaning. My wife gave me this gun when I won the election. And it just says, I think it's a lot about who I am. I'm very traditional in the sense that I think that traditional values built this country, and we need to get back to those traditional values. And that old lever action gun kind of reminds me of that. It's the simplicity of it. The simplicity of it. So I love that gun. But I don't have as many guns as I'd like to. I tend to give them to my kids as well, but I that's probably one of my favorite guns.
I have three guns now. I bought two ARs a while back, and my most recent was a 300 Blackout. Ooh. And I still haven't shot the damn thing.
I've got a couple guns that I've bought that I haven't shot. So look, I'm not doing any better than you.
Well, the price of ammo and the lack of ammo has been keeping me from shooting it.
Amen
so,
to that.
Sheriff, I want to ask you about another post here. There's another Instagram post, and this was a picture of you and your son, Cade. And the caption on that post was, "Happy birthday to my boy, Cade. I can't ask for a better, more patriotic, more gun-loving, God-fearing son. I hope you're having an amazing day. Show the boy some love and wish him happy birthday." Obviously, you recall that post.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And my first question around that post is, what's one memory of you that your son will always have?
That's a great question. You know, I would say that his memory of me will be probably just, you know, the way I love freedom. I think that it's multiple things combined. I think he consistently sees the example that I try to set of loving your country, loving your family, those things. We recently were able to go to Texas, and we were doing some hog hunting out there. And I would say he probably, of the recent memories, that's one of the things he's probably holding on to. He's in the military now. He's been away from the home for about 7 years, between serving a mission for our church and between serving for our country in the 82nd Airborne out of Fort Bragg, North Carolina. We don't see him as much as we used to. And so we're excited to get him home for this Christmas. But recently we went out and did that hunting in Texas. So that's probably his most recent memory of me. And that's probably what he's holding on to right now.
Is he the only child?
No, I've got five. He's number one of five. I've got a 23-year-old daughter with a grandson. I've got a 21-year-old son who's expecting a granddaughter. I've got a 19-year-old son and an 18-year-old son. So yeah, I've got five kids total.
Okay. I kind of set you up there because Cade sent me a question, and he wanted me to ask you, Who's your favorite child?
Well, Cade's probably the only one that's going to watch this, so I may as well say Cade. Like, Cade's an awesome kid. Every one of my kids are, you know, all your kids are different, and you love different things about all of them. I've been blessed
for
with
sure.
Very good kids. You know, they love this country like I do. They're good citizens. They're good people. And I'm proud of each and every one of them.
Yeah, man. We have two daughters. Both are grown now. And you're absolutely right. They're each totally different, but you love them the same, you know. And couldn't ask for better kids. You know, I'm so proud of both of them. You know, they're out doing their own things. And it just feels good as a parent when you can see your kids stand on their own feet. You know, and you know that you've done your job to get them to where they need to be so that, you know, as we transition and move on from this earth, you know that they can take care of themselves. And that's what it's all about. Next picture I want to ask you about. This was a picture of your wife and it was another birthday picture. And the caption was, "Happy birthday to this beautiful and amazing woman and wife. She loves God. She loves America. She loves her family. And she puts up with me. I hope you have an awesome birthday, Jane. Love you." Again, obviously, you recall that post. And my first question is, how long you guys been married? I think you said 27 years.
Yeah, we've been married for 27 years. That's why she's put up with me. Hence the putting up with me part.
Yeah, we'll have 29 in come February. How did you guys meet? Thank you.
We met at an institute dance. They got a religious institute at ASU for our church. And we were at that dance and I had asked her to dance and I liked her a lot. So I had got her number that night, asked her out like the next day. And then I was set to go live in Panama. My family had lived in Panama. So I was getting ready to go to Panama to purchase. The ticket was already purchased. So I had 2 weeks before I left, went out with her almost every day. Then I went to Panama for several months. Back then, you actually had to write each other on actual paper and send it in the mail. There was no internet, no email. We would write each other and then came back, dated her for 2 more weeks and asked her to marry me. So I'm a man of action and decision. We knew each other, dated each other for a total of 4 weeks before I asked her to marry me. And then we had those months where we were writing each other. So
that's great. I love this story. My last question around this post is, what's one thing you do that drives her crazy?
Oh, shoot. I don't know. I probably got more than one. It's probably more than one thing. I think what drives her crazy the most is I'll always ask and be like, hey, should I wear this shirt or that shirt? And she'll give me an answer and I'll oftentimes pick the opposite thing. It's not on purpose. It's just sometimes you just need to hear yourself say it. And I'm kind of that way and then get an answer. And in my mind, I'm just processing what I really wanted to do in the end anyway. So that probably frustrates her.
Yeah, we all have our little things that drives them up the wall, but they still love us anyway. Yeah. So
that's right.
All right, Sheriff, I want to go ahead and get to my next segment. This is what I call Random 7. And again, if you're a new listener to the podcast, like I said in the beginning, my podcast is different. I'm all about the men and women and getting to know them on a personal level. I don't showcase departments and all that stuff. You know, there's plenty of podcasts out there that talks about all that. For me, it's all about getting to humanize the men and women. So I came up with this. It's called Random 7, and they're just 7 totally random questions. Okay, so try to answer them the best that you can. They're all electronically generated, so just try to answer the best you can, okay?
Ready.
All right, the first one. What was your most life-changing moment of the past year?
This past year, man, I've had a lot. You know, I would say, man, that's a tough one. you know, I don't look back in the rearview mirror very often.
Okay.
And so it's hard for me to pick out one. I would say that this last year is just continuing to stand up for freedom, for people's ability to make their own choices. You know, I've stood up against vaccine mandates, just saying, look, it's everybody's choice. It shouldn't have to be mandated. And so I would say that's probably this last year, one of the bigger life-changing things. It's just continuing to stand up for freedom.
Mm-hmm. Now, you just said something. And I know I just said I don't get into politics and all that stuff, but I got to ask you this. I have this, and I've said this on the podcast before, but I have this thing about politicians, and I don't care if they're Republicans or Democrats or independents. I believe that they all have a motive, and that's two things, money and power. And when you just mentioned about the vaccine, you know, it's just one more thing that I believe that has been used to divide the country. And I always reference back to September 12th, the day after 9/11. If anybody can think back to that day, we weren't Democrats, we weren't Republicans, we weren't liberals, we weren't conservatives, we were all American. And we were one country. And in my lifetime, that's the only time I can ever recall the country actually coming together like that and being what we should always be, one country. And I think that the division in this country, I think it's all deliberate. I think there's a reason. As long as you can keep everyone divided, you can stay in power and you can keep getting those $5 and $10 contributions to come to your campaign to keep you in office. And it's not even so much the division, it's the rudeness that we've become towards each other. We can all have our own opinions and our own views of things, but do we have to be so nasty towards each other? That's what I don't like.
And that poor example is being set by those same politicians that you just said. And I would agree with you. It's about money. It's about power. And I would also add in there, it's about control.
Absolutely.
And I don't know that everybody starts off that way, but having been in politics, I can see what a murky and swampy water this is. If you don't have a clear sense of what your values and your visions and goals are in life, if you don't have a clear love of this country, you're going to get washed away in all that muck and swampiness.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. All those guys have to take donations from big corporations and lobbyists, and that starts to dictate how they do their job. And instead of representing the people, is what they took an oath to do, and to protect and defend the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. That's the same oath that we all took.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of doing that, they focus on the money, the power, and the control.
Yep.
And it's sad to see. The only way you fix that is with term limits.
Exactly.
And I don't think these guys will ever put term limits on themselves.
I am so happy to hear you say that, because I have been preaching that and screaming that forever. Get them. They should not be in there for 30, 40 years.
Yeah. Like, listen, I don't, even as a sheriff, there is no limit on these things, but I don't plan on staying for 30, 40 years. You know why? Because there is no way you can consistently do this job. You need new injection of ideas and all of these things. And my prayer is that somebody will come in after me and take this agency that I love and take it to the next level.
Yeah.
And that's what I want. And so I realize that I'm not going to be here forever. Unfortunately, a lot of our politicians, they just will not relinquish that power and control that they've gotten addicted to and they love. And it's sad to watch, and it's what's ruining America. And I agree with you. I wish every day could be September 12th, because that is when Americans realize we're all just Americans. It didn't matter what color, religion, background, none of that mattered. At that time, all we cared about was we were all Americans.
And that's my soapbox, so I'm going to go on to my next question here. next question. In one sentence, how would you sum up the internet?
Bad. Bad. I think that there's good also, but I would say that just with the sexual predators that are out there, with the ugliness and the hate that exists on the internet, and probably more than anything, the misinformation.
Yeah.
It is a great thing in the sense that you can find all the stuff you want. But you really got to sift through a lot of information, because as the victim of misinformation in so many ways, Jeff, it's hard to watch. And so I trust very little on the internet, but I think there's a lot of good, but I think there's a lot of bad on the internet too. So just beware.
It's a necessary evil. Like you said, there's both good and bad. And I have another theory on that, but if you guys go back and listen to some of my other episodes, I had one that I just went on a rant about politics and the internet. So you can go back and listen to that, because I won't bore you with that again. But I want to get to my next question. And that is, If humans came with a warning label, what would yours say?
Caution, extreme patriotism.
I love it. Love it. Where did the patriotism come from? Is that from growing up? Is that how you were raised?
Kind of. You know, it wasn't really talked about. It just was implied. We just loved America. I was raised in, born and raised in Hawaii, lived in the Philippines, lived in Panama, lived in Argentina. And I just gained a real love and appreciation for America. And then I've always fallen in love with history and the founding fathers. And I believe that freedom is of God. And being a godly man, I think that that is one of the key things that he wants you to have here on this earth. And so I fight valiantly to protect it. And so I guess if the warning was caution, extreme patriotism. Look, I'm the nicest guy as well. I did a personality test the other day where it says, look, you're a person that's based in love and this and that, but don't cross me. My alter ego is the war machine. So there is a side that will bite you.
Couple more questions here. If your significant other went to jail, would you wait for her to get out?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I would. I love my wife. She's great. I would, because if she went to jail, it'd be for something like protecting her family or for protecting America. So I'd wait
for
it.
Yeah. And I told you, these are just random questions. So
I love it. That's great.
Next question. If you were musically inclined, who would you want to have a private jam session with?
Right now, Aaron Lewis. I think Aaron Lewis is speaking my language. He just wrote that song, Am I the Only One? I think it'd be fun to just sit and do that with him. My son sings a lot. I love sitting with my son and having him sing different songs too. So
awesome. Awesome. All right. Last two here. What does your typical Friday night look like?
Friday night's usually an event, either an event or I'm out doing, we're riding around on the street with the guys, but that's typically my Friday, or traveling to another location on a red eye flight so I can speak on a Saturday and fly back on Sunday. So always busy. Fridays are always busy. It's never a go out and eat or go to dinner and a movie. No, that's not it.
Yeah, you got to stay busy. Keeps you young. That's for sure. Last question, here, Sheriff. What's something on your to-do list that never gets done?
Right now, my backyard. We have a house that's on an acre, and that sounded really cool until it came down to where you have to landscape it. And you realize it costs about $100,000 to landscape your backyard. Yeah. And that backyard has gone by the wayside because of the American Sheriff Network. So that's on my to-do list. Get that done this next few months.
I love it. I love it. I can relate. All right, sir. I want to go ahead and get to my last segment. This is what I call this or that. I'm going to give you two topics. You simply have to pick one. You don't have to explain why if you don't want to. All right. And this is kind of like my rapid fire round.
Okay.
The first one, six sons or six daughters?
Six sons. I love my daughter, but girls are a lot harder. You can yell at a boy, you can spank them, whatever. And they're very different. Daughters are just, I love her.
But yeah, no doubt. I have two and it was tough. So I couldn't imagine six.
Yeah.
I could. They always tell me they were so happy that they weren't boys because they know they would have caught hell. The next one, a month without your car or a month without the internet?
A month without the internet. I can live without that. I like to be able to be roam free. You know, I'm a freedom guy, so I like to be able to go places.
A couple more here, or a few more here. Phone call or text?
Phone call.
Cake or pie?
Pie.
Bath or shower?
I mean, I love a bath. I know it sounds funny, but my bath doesn't fill up enough, so shower, I guess.
Couch or recliner?
Recliner.
Toilet paper, over or under?
Toilet paper or over.
Movie at home or movie at the theater?
Well, I used to love movies at the theaters, but now that whole industry has changed. I would have answered that differently a year and a half ago. I would have loved, I always loved movie at a theater, but now movie at home.
Last two, beer or wine?
I actually don't drink. I've never had alcohol in my life, not even a sip.
Wow.
So I wouldn't know between beer or alcohol. For me, it's probably going to be what used to be Mountain Dew, but now I've cut out sugar sodas. So I don't drink either one of them. So neither.
Awesome. Awesome. And the last one, sir, honesty or loyalty?
For me, it's loyalty. In the end, it's loyalty. I like honesty too. That's a tough one. But in the end, I think that loyalty is paramount in this world. Very few people you can find that are loyal to a fault. And I like to surround myself with people that are loyal to a fault. I'm one of those. I'm fiercely loyal. If you're my friend or my family, you've got my loyalty. Even my enemies, I'm still loyal. I don't burn my enemies down to the ground like I could, because I'm a loyal person.
Yeah, yeah. Great answer. Great answer. Nothing wrong with a little loyalty in your life. It surely helps and makes things a little easier. That's for sure. Sheriff Lamb, sir, listen, again, I appreciate you taking time out of your day to hop on the podcast with me. If you can do me a favor, if you can just share your social media and everything so people can go over and check you out and see what you have going on.
Yeah, and thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. I do most of my social media on American Sheriff on Instagram. It's American Sheriff. I'm going to kind of revive my American Sheriff Foundation Instagram here in the next few weeks. You can check me out on Facebook at Sheriff Lamb. And then, of course, AmericanSheriff.com. Please go check it out and support us and support the men and women who put on the badge every day.
Awesome.
Thank you for everything. And I also have Protect America Now, which is Sheriff standing together, protecting the rule of law, standing up for the rule of law, standing against bad policies, and fighting for the constitutional rights of the people.
Great, great. Guys, again, I'm going to have links to all of that stuff down in the show notes. So please go over, check out Sheriff Lamb, see what he has going on. Definitely check out the American Sheriff's Network. Some good content on there. I think you guys are really going to enjoy that. Any last words of wisdom before we get out of here, sir?
No, just thank you so much. And thank you to everybody who supports the men and women who put on this badge every day. I can assure you there are great men and women that do this job and they deserve the support. And they deserve the prayers. They're out doing a hard job that most of us don't want to, well, a lot of people don't want to do. Thank them, pray for them. And for those of you who do put on the badge every day, thank you. Continue the great work. We're praying for you. And America needs you.
Yes, sir. Indeed. I can't top that. Guys, listen. I appreciate you taking time out of your day, Sheriff Lamb, to join me. I appreciate you, the listeners, taking time to listen to this podcast. Like I end every episode, I ask you guys, please go over, leave a review, follow us on whatever platform that you're listening to the podcast on. It's much appreciated. On that note, guys, I am out of here, and I will see you all on the next episode. Take care. Bye-bye.